All right. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning, a beautiful morning. We're going to be looking at James chapter 2 is where we're going to find our text this morning. So if you want to open your Bibles there, that's where we'll get started in just a minute. I guess this audience here is not really has many kids in school. I know Kelly does, but back to school went well, off and running. Kids are back in school, so it's been a bit of a hectic week for those of us that are in the school system. So it's been a challenging week, so just bear with me as we look at our study today. So it's been a very, very busy, hectic, and troublesome week for us in a couple areas. So working through those bugs right now. We'll be looking at James chapter 2. We'll be looking at faith and works this morning. This is where we'll be talking about James getting into how we need to be functioning and how we need to be out in the world and our actions being able to be seen through Christ and what's happening in our lives. But before we do that, let's go to our God in prayer and then we'll start our class. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful morning you bless us with, for the refreshing rains that refresh your earth. We ask, Father, for your blessings this morning as we open your word for study. May it penetrate our hearts, help us in our walk, in our talk, and the way we act and react. Father, forgive us in our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at James for about the last 5 weeks so far. So I just want to go back a little bit with regards to what we were talking about with Doug and Chuck in class. It's very important that we realize that, you know, who he's writing to. You know, the church has scattered at this point in time. And they're really trying to encourage the church to come back and make sure that they're trying to edify the church and strengthen the church through the writing of James. So he's really working on that element there with regards to being able to be an encouragement. The book of James is an encouragement for us to prompt us to do better in our walk, in our daily walk with Christ. So, you know, they're running, they're scattered, they're abroad, they're in the Roman province and in Sierra, with regards to being able to be scattered at this point in time. He's really hitting hard the heart here with regards to the salvation piece. Salvation by grace through faith has already been proclaimed in the synagogues throughout the region. But, you know, they're going to a far, far extreme here. So they're really trying to work the way back to be able to make sure that we understand what it means to have our faith and works in that counterbalance with what we need to be doing within our Christian walk. So it's very important there with regards to being able to see that and how we need to be looking at that in our own lives on how we should be walking the talk and making sure our actions show through with what we're looking at doing. Somebody define faith. What is faith? Belief in something you can't see. Yes. Good one. Anybody else? Complete trust and confidence in something, in something. It's like that's Webster's definition there with regards to being able to see that. A strong belief in God is another definition with regards to your faith. You know, sometimes we often wonder, well, you have to have faith. You know, can you see the wind? No, you have to have faith in that you feel the effects of the wind. But, you know, you don't always see the actions or the actually coming from the wind aspect. So, you know, the wind is a good example of faith, having it know that it's coming from somewhere. You can feel the effect of it, but, you know, being able to see that piece. But the Bible also defines faith in Hebrews 11:1. It talks about how faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. And it goes back to the comment earlier about we can't see it, but it's the effect of it. And that's really what we'll be talking about today is the effect of faith, our action in faith, our works in action, the effects of our actions taking place there. Faith is used in the Bible about 458 times. Very interesting. I didn't realize that until I did my little scripture search there. In the New Testament, it's referenced almost 300 times. So it's really focused in on the New Testament aspect of faith being a concept in the New Testament. But it's certainly evident in the Old Testament as well, but mainly focused in on the New Testament piece. The faith is the concept of faith is used, or the, you know, the word uses the faith in several different senses in the Bible. If you look at times, it references the system of doctrine set forth in the New Testament, which we can see in Acts 6 and 7. It says the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith, talking about becoming faithful member of the body. So faith is used several different aspects in the New Testament for us to be able to utilize and understand. Also, we can see in Paul uses a term in a manner when he encouraged the Corinthians to examine themselves as to whether they're in the faith. And that's evidence in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. It talks about examining yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. And do you realize that Christ Jesus is in you? So the faith living within ourselves is another aspect of the faith aspect of us in our walk, in our talk, in our walk. Also, the scriptures use the word faith in more than one sense. Jude is a good example of that with regards to being able to see that piece. In Jude, it talks about faith described as a system of doctrine set forth in the New Testament when he charges the audience to contend earnestly in the faith. And you think about some examples of that would be like Abraham, you know, Abraham, the father of faith, there with regards to being able to be encouraged in that regard. So it's a doctrine of faith of us being able to stay compelled to stay the faith. Other places in the Bible talks about the term faith is used to refer to man's trusting response in God's word. Romans 10:17 declares when one hears and does what God decrees, it's an act of faith. That's where I was actually going with Abraham. After Abraham was requested to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, and that was an act of faith with regards to being able to follow through. And we'll look at a couple more of those in a few minutes. All right, in Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace into which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Also in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, and all of you who are baptized in Christ are clothed yourself with Christ. And again, it goes back to that faith reaction that takes place where with what the reaction should be with us walking and talking and following Christ. All right, one more there. And we also see in James 1:22, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about how James has already proclaimed it being necessary for faith to be followed by works. So this isn't a new concept for James and his talking here. We're able to see this in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, do not be merely listeners of the word, deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And again, it's that concept there where we're looking and following, and works are to follow after our actions there. All right. So you had enough brief history lesson so far, right? On faith. Let's get into the scripture this morning. Our scripture is James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. We'll pick it up there. It says, what good is it for my brothers and sisters if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If any one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, I have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. And again, here we go with the regards to talking about faith and works being combined there with being able to look at it. He starts out by asking a double negative question. So what is he trying to get to here with the two questions that he's asking about? Is he trying to get a yes answer out of them, or you think it's a no-brainer that it's a no question? What do you say? He's making them stop and think about what they need to be doing there with regards to that. You know, he's regarding faith without works. What is James asking with regards, you know, can it be followed by one or the other? So, you know, can your deeds save you? And the answer is no. Our deeds can't save us. It's what happens because of why we're doing those good deeds, why we're doing the good work, that is causing us to grow the faith. So it's actually the faith in action that takes place with regards to us being able to push forward there. So it's not the work that's going to save us, because it can't save us. It's the faith working through us to cause us to do the good deeds that come forward with it. No, faith cannot save us without faith without works is not able to save us. But what saves us? It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. Him giving himself upon that cross of Calvary that saves us. It's the blood that saves us. It's not the actions that take place, but the actions are an outcourse or outcome of what we're trying to achieve here. So it's not the things that we're doing necessarily, but it's really coming back down to the heart condition of how or why we're doing those things. So it's important to realize that that faith without works is not able to save us. It's salvation by faith and the necessity of works that exist side by side. So it's the combination of the two working together that allows us to be able to work toward that eternal home. Christians neither earn salvation by works, nor does it dismiss its responsibility to put faith into action. Again, it's that combination that's got to take place. Yes, Kelly. Right. It's a combination of different elements there. We're not able to save ourselves. We are not able to. I like the analogy of the baking of the cake, because it takes a lot of different elements there that's got to come into play with regards to be able to support our walk in the way of salvation. Without that, those ingredients being mixed together, that outcome comes forth that allows us to have that faith, that faithful walk with Christ, and the example that we set, that's, you know, where we're, our end goal is to get to. That's right. Correct. There's many different works. If you think about the body here, what are some functions that the body does here? That we got some great people that do those things. We got great people that do these things, and we got great. But it's the body coming together as one. It talks about being when the scripture is talking about being the body, being made up of many members, being, you know, fingers and toes, ears and different elements there. We all serve in some different capacity, but that's a great point with regards to that we all have different talents. There's different talents throughout the congregation that helps the body to be able to achieve the end goal of being able to promote and be able to share good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. So it also stretches us. You know, I would have never guessed I would be here. I'm not the best of the teachers that we have there with regards to the body here. But it stretches us and makes us be able to further walk in our our abilities to be able to impact others with regards to who we come in contact with. So, you know, it may not be our talent this year, may not be our talent 10 years from now, it may not be our talent at all, but don't underestimate what God can do in molding and shaping our lives with regards to the elements of Him working in us. Because if we allow Him to take charge, we allow Him to mold us and make us into what He wants from us, we oftentimes find ourselves limiting God because I'm not comfortable, but sometimes pushing us into those uncomfortable situations also allows us to grow further for His cause. So very, very good point with regards to being able to see the different talents, different pieces, and the makeup of the body, because truly it's the makeup of the body that makes the strengths, it's the strength of the body itself. Salvation is by grace through faith. You know, it's grace that allows us to have that relationship. It's nothing that we can earn, that we have the ability to be a merit of. We'll never be good enough to be able to have that relationship. It's through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that allows us into that relationship. It's through grace that we're brought into the family. It's through grace that we're a part of the family. And the salvation is by the sinner's response to that obedience. So it's seeing that need, seeing those missing pieces, and really growing through that to allow us to be able to do that. So definitely, you know, salvation is by grace. It's nothing that we can do or ever earn that. It's through the grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ. All right. What point is James making as it relates to our faith? Anybody? Exactly. It's a combination of faith is simple and practical. It's got to be in action. It's that combination of where you're having the two work together with regards to that piece. The example of works is of faith is simple and practical because it's that action taking place in our life. If we don't have that action in our lives, then our works or our actions aren't being able to be seen for the glory of God. So we need that action taking place with regards to it. We live out our intangible love that reflects our faith. You know, it talks about here where we live through love, our actions are coming forth. It's that love factor that comes into place. It's that heart condition that comes into place that allows us to be able to see Christ living in us, and we need that coming through. True living faith expressed itself in genuine obedience to God and love for others. So it's that balance that we need to have that allows us to be able to have that relationship there. So it's an outpour of things that we're doing for the cause of Christ. So it's very important that through our acts and the deeds that we're doing, the works that we're doing, it's an outpour of what good things Christ is doing in our own lives that we want to be able to share that with others and whom we come in contact with. So it's very important that we understand that that's an outpour of those elements there with regards to what's happening in the world of faith. In Galatians 5 and 6, it says, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised or uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's really the essence of the actions, the faith and works piece of it, because it's an expression of love coming to others and who we want to be able to influence. And it's an expression of love that allows them to be able to see Christ living in us. That's what, you know, the works and the faith that comes forth with regard. It's that expression of love that I have for God, that I have for mankind, and that I want to share that love with those in whom I come in contact with. And that's the outcome that takes place there. All right. Let's go on in and look at the other pieces of this, because he talks about, he poses those as a question. Now, he tells us a scenario here. In verses 15, he picks up, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If any one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm and be fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by actions is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. When is faith seen? Through the works, through the actions that take place there. You know, is it good enough to just say, go in peace for somebody that's hungry or needing clothing or needing something? Being able to bless them isn't necessarily the action that needs to take place there, but there needs to be a physical response to be able to fulfill that, and that we're being able to see. But when faith is truly seen, faith is most clearly seen when it's demonstrated or lived. And that's what we're called to do, is to demonstrate our faith through our life in which we live and in which we interact with. It's demonstrated and lived. And that's what we're called to do. It's that demonstration of the love there that we have. Is claiming enough to have faith, is that enough? No. Just by claiming that we have faith isn't enough to be able to say that we're doing it. It's through those actions of love that allows that, that should be shown through. I'm sorry? And if the tree doesn't bear fruit, what does the gardener do? He's pruning the tree to be able to get the fruit to also grow. So that's another element there, which is a sign, you know, another example for us to be able to see that, you know, that bearing of fruit, the growth that has to take place, that's all an example of us living through and letting our faith be being seen. It's that type of love that takes place with regard to that. Faith should be evident in our life of the believer. For those one deeds, faith can be seen. So it's very important that the faith can be seen, what we're doing with regards to that piece. So it isn't good enough just to say, oh, okay, you're go in peace, be loved. We need action, and that's what the faith piece of it generates, is that action that takes place for us to be able to do that. Can you? Can you do that without love or compassion? And you can't. That comes from, again, that's that heart condition, that thing. You think you can? Sure. Yeah, we don't know the heart. You know, that's not where we need to be focusing in. But you can see, you know, there's people that want for the glory. I mean, you definitely can see that as their focal point. That's their intention. That's what they're wanting to have. There's times that, you know, that you may not notice that piece of it. Certainly, you know, people are compassionate, but does it mean that they're living their faith by just being a compassionate person? I think there is a major difference there. Right. Right. It's, again, going back to that heart condition of knowing where you are.
Drastically different ways of living, and that's kind of
Mm-hmm. You've checked that box, huh? You're good for a week? Yeah, I like the words you use. There is a sense of duty. There's that balance there with regards to it. There's a difference between what's a sense of duty and if I'm doing it out of love. And, you know, I'm looking out for, you know, your wife, or you're looking out for the other person. That just takes it to another level with regards to, you know, the obligation or the feeling of that I have to do something there. But, no, those are great comments there, Kurt. Thank you. You know, there's, you know, many different emotions. You know, there's many different things that can take on. You know, sometimes the heart isn't there, but the time you go through it and do it, you know, the heart then is then re-brought back around. So there's times that, you know, it's out of a necessity of doing it. But, you know, when those types of situations arise, you know, sometimes it's the betterment of the good, because it has that ability to circle you back around to be able to really see, yeah, I really needed to do that. I needed to be there. I needed to be there for that person, or I needed to meet with that person and talk with them. Those types of things, you know, the pressures of this world are great. And sometimes fogs our vision, causes us to not necessarily to see the end goal, but, you know, being there, being present, being a part of that is the thing. Right. Yep. Right. And it changed that heart, softened that heart. It's like that elastic band that pops you to get your attention. Sometimes that's what we need. You know, it would be good to have the heart all the time, but sometimes, depending on what's happening in the world and it's facing us, sometimes causes us to not see that bigger picture. But I agree, there's opportunities to be able to bring you back that allows you to see that in a much bigger, grander scale, to see what good it was to do that, what good it came from that, or how I was able to give back to somebody that was truly in need, that needed me being present and being able to do that. So a lot of good things that to go on. It's the same thing I was just thinking, you know, earlier as I was preparing or getting my thoughts together this morning is, you know, there's a lot of good things going on behind the scenes in the church. There's a lot of things that get done. Don't know how it gets done, but gets done. But that's somebody's gift, that's somebody's talent, that's in action, that's giving and being able to accomplish, you know, making it comfortable in here, to be able to be here, to somebody to turn on all the lights, to be able to be, that's something that has to get done. But, you know, it's somebody's gift that they're wanting to step up to that plate that has no recognition, no ability to be really seen, but certainly we see the effect of it if it's not done, when it's not done. So another great work of that takes place. One of the things that came to my mind too is this, you know, the scripture of the guy that gets hurt on the road to Jericho with regards to the Good Samaritan. I just thought that related very well with the example he uses in James about, you know, the three guys passing by, or two guys passing by, one actually helping out, and being able to find that time to be able to help somebody that's in need. So I just thought that was a great, another parallel verse there that helps reiterate the point that even in our busyness, sometimes we need to stop and help somebody maybe in need, somebody that needs something from us, and being able to do that. And that was a great story there with the Good Samaritan there in Luke 10. All right, let's look at Abraham real quick. In verses 19 through 24, it says, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone." You know, he talks about the first right out of the bat there, what do the demons do? They believe too, don't they? They know the power of God. They know what's in there for that peace. So, you know, even the demons believe, but that doesn't show through their actions to be able to do that. They believe and shudder, however, just believing isn't enough. And that's the point there that we want to make there is just because you believe, need the action that follows through with that with regards to being able to follow suit. So believing isn't enough. Yes, the demons believe, but they did not follow through there. What did Abraham do to prove his faith? Yeah, I don't know that I could do that. You know, that's the thing there. That would be a, and I didn't realize, you know, in Genesis, it talks about he knew that that's what he was going up to the mountain for. You know, he knew that that's what God wanted him to do. You see that in Genesis 22:1-3, that was the calling there for him to take his son up to that mountain and sacrifice him.
And the real faith is not only that he was going to sacrifice, but that God would bring them back.
You bet.
Now that's you. At that time, to our knowledge, Abraham had never seen Jesus. So for him to say, "We're going to go over there, I'm going to sacrifice this dude on an altar, and God's going to somehow bring you back to life because he makes these promises to me," that is unbelievable.
It is. It is.
God had already come through on the cross. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, 99 having kids?
No, I can't imagine it now. it stems back to that time frame when God told him he was going to have, you know, kids, and, you know, Sarah's, forget that, you know, that ain't going to happen. But taking it to that next level of, you know, that sacrificing piece of it, killing him, that's a tough call. But he definitely was willing to carry that out for him. And the other thing is, you know, I certainly want to be, you know, what was Abraham called? God's friend. You know, that's what we all need to be striving for, to be able to be known as, I want to be a God's friend. That just really resonated with me that's the ultimate right there in his walk with God. Lots of lessons there from Abraham's side of it that points us to be able to see that he's God's friend. How does Abraham illustrate the point James was making? You know, I love this. He was all in. He had both feet in, and that he was living his faith. That's what we're charged to be, what we are charged to do with regards to our walk. But, that's a great example for us all. I encourage you to relook at that scripture and see he's referencing Hebrews 2 and James. I mean, Abraham's throughout the scriptures there for us to be able to really glean from and to learn from. But ultimate sacrifice there. How does a person consider themselves righteous? It comes down to what we do. It's not by faith alone. It's actions from the heart. It's living our faith, and that's really the lesson for us today is to live our faith, and the actions that we have from the heart side of it that comes from forward with that. That's good. Righteousness is the relationship with God. That's good stuff there. All right, let's look at Rahab real quick, and then we'll close her down here for our lesson today. It talks about Rahab here, the example of Rahab. James 25 and 26, in the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You know, he moves, it's very different, a very contrast from Father Abraham to Rahab that he's using as an example, but great examples for us to be able to see and be able to see how he uses people in the different ways to be able to bring that point. I have up there who was Rahab. She's mentioned three times in the Bible, a minor character whose unexpected faith played a critical role in the future of God's people. And that's another way God is using people to be able to bring to his glory. So, you know, there's a huge contrast between the two, but Rahab is also a person of faith that was able to further God's people with what she did, the action that she took with regards to that piece. All right, let's see what... applications for us today is James answered the question by posing in James chapter 2, verse 14, can faith without work save him? He answered that through the scripture that he was using with regards to that. And that answer was, of course not. Both Abraham and Rahab supported the conclusion. They both understood that obedience was a requirement of their faith. So very important piece of it that they needed that as the obedience factor. That required them to put that into action. We can see that also in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those that does the will of the Father who is in heaven. So, just calling on his name isn't enough. It's putting that faith in action. You know, hear, believe, repent, be baptized, live faithfully. Putting those practices into action requires us to be able to move forward with that. Also, faith and love begin in the heart. We must be practicing believers, and that's what I would encourage us to do this week as we go out and being able to see that we our faith needs to be seen in what we do, how we act, how we react with regards to that. That's also going to be found in Matthew 12:35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, but the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So looking for that way to be able to really showcase the faith living in us this next week. Next week, Chuck's going to be picking up Controlling the Tongue and being able to cover that passage with us for next week. It's James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, if you want to read ahead. I appreciate your comment. You got a comment you want to end with?
I was just saying, I think the reason he did Abraham and Rahab is it's to show us we're in that scale somewhere. We might not be God's friend, but it goes all the way down to Harvard.
Yep.
So we're in the middle somewhere. So we're on that scale.
We're in that spectrum somewhere with regards to where we are in our walk, in our talk, in our life. And that's a great example for us to be able to see that, you know, even our challengingest days, there's ways to be able to glorify God in what we do, what we say, and how we act or react. So I encourage you to think through that this next week. Have a great week, and thank you for your comments this morning.